Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, please. Romans chapter 8 this morning. Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verses 31 through 39 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. That's Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. As you're finding your place this morning, if you're able, would you please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. Romans 8, beginning at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God and this encouraging, challenging passage that we just read. I pray that you would anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power to help us today. Help us to seek you, Holy Spirit, to hear what we should hear today too. Now, Father, use him to help us today. And Father, I ask one more thing, as I do practically every Sunday, and that is, if there is somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they would settle that before they leave this room today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, we'll ask that you sit and listen very carefully. Turn your electronic devices off that may go on during the service. We would appreciate that very much. And also, this morning, I'm going to ask that you look at verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conqueror in the Bible means cannot be defeated. More than a conqueror in the Bible means completely victorious. More than a conqueror in the Bible means can't be conquered. You say, well, that's a great promise, isn't it? And it is a great promise, isn't it? Okay, now wait a minute. Would you look at your Bibles, church, now this morning? Keep your Bible open. But look at verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Then the conqueror's statement, verse 38, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you see that? Sandwiched between all this stuff about death and nakedness and famine and peril and sword and life and death and all the rest of that, sandwiched between all that is, but in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know, those people faced all those things in their day. We face them in ours too, don't we? How is that? Now listen this morning. How is it we are more than conquerors even though there's all this stuff that happens in life? Trials, troubles, difficulties, battles, oppositions. How is that? How is it that with the things of life, life and death, the struggles of paying bills, the failures of life, how is it in all of that we are more than conquerors It seems like that verse 37 is not put in the right spot. And I'm not questioning the Bible. The Bible is pure and perfect. All I'm saying is this. There's a statement that says we are more than, we cannot be defeated. We will be absolutely victorious. And it says in all these things, in the stuff of verse 35, of persecution, of troubles, of difficulties, of hardships, in all of that, in life, death, all of that, all of it, the Bible says, in all of it, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. How is that? He said, well, if I didn't have those problems, I'd be more than conqueror. He didn't say that. He didn't say without them. He said in them, while you're going through that, while you face those things, the Bible says you're still more than conquerors. That's amazing when you stop to think about the context of it. But how is it that we are more than conquerors with the way life is at times? And by the way, life is not all trouble. Agreed? Okay, for the rest of us that have nothing but trouble, I guess that doesn't help you. But life is not all trouble. Agreed? Hey, November will come and the election will be over and we have to listen to these people anymore. I mean, there is hope. Right? We get April past April the 15th and the first Tuesday in November and life will be good again. I promise you that. I absolutely assure you of it. But that's not the point. The point is not, are we a conqueror because we have no problems? Are we more than conquerors in all those things? Why we face them all? Why we go through all of them? See, that's the world today thinks, boy, if they can just make all my troubles go away, my life will be so much better. Who wants a life like that? I do. Anyone who says, I want trouble, you need to sue your brain for desertion. I mean, it's terrible. Who wants the trouble in life? But he didn't promise to be that we would be more than conquerors in spite of all of that. He said, while you're in all of it, while you're in famine and persecution and nakedness and peril and sword. Sword means war, even in the most difficult times that we face in this life. Then he said, in life and death and all those things, the things that we face in the next life. All of it, the Bible says, in all of that, we're still more than conquerors. How can that be? Well, first of all, because of what verse 31 says. Now look at the verse, church. Look at it. Now I want you to read it very carefully while I read it to you. Would you please? What shall we say then to these things? God be for us, who can be against us? I missed a word. What did I miss? What's the word, church, I missed there? If God be for us, who can be against us? How can you be more than conqueror facing life and death? How? If God's for you, you can do it. Emphasis, if. Now, see, that's a conditional statement. Would you not agree with me this morning? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, people say today, boy, no matter what you're going through in life, God is in control. That's not true. No matter what you're going through in life, if God is in control, God's in control. If you let him. See, the people, look here this morning. What we want to do today, so many people, is we want to dismiss him from all these areas of our life. And then when trouble comes, we want to blame him for the trouble. Well, hey, if you made him check out at the beginning, he's not there at the end. You know, the old bumper sticker says, God is my co-pilot. Someone the other day made that right. If God is your co-pilot, you better change seats. That's our problem today. We're driving the boat. We're driving the car. We're running our lives. God is, he's around. I mean, you know, we're spiritual. I love that one. We're spiritual. We believe in him, which impresses God tremendously, by the way. When some little peanut finite mind of a body down here says they believe in God, how much God must say, oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Boy, the arrogance that people have nowadays. We kick him out of everything, and then we wonder why he's not in it. And then when something bad happens, it's all God's fault. When was the last time you heard a sunrise called an act of God? But a hurricane, that's an act of God. An earthquake, an act of God. A disaster, that's an act of God. How about a sunset being an act of God? How about healthy being an act of God? How about that kind of stuff? See, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's how you're more than conqueror. If God is on your side, you will get through this. If God is your God and he's watching over you and you are under his authority and you're living the way God would have you to live, hey, most importantly, if you are his child, everything's going to be okay. See, look back in those same verses. Look there, it says down to, look at verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. That's talking about salvation. If God be for us, who can be against us? People can oppose us. They can cause us problems. But look at me. If you're God's child, he's going to take care of you. One day, our granddaughter now, who's 11 years old, we were walking down the street. She's just a little girl at the time. They were coming to visit us. And we're walking down the street together, and I'm holding her little hand. And all of a sudden, a dog came running out from somebody's yard that wasn't leased up, growling and barking and snapping and everything else. And boy, she turned around and put her little hands up like this. And I grabbed her, and I picked her up, and I held her like that. And I told the dog, get back in that yard over there. And he just turned right around and ran back in the yard. I'm tough on poodles, brother. Let me tell you that right now. The Chihuahuas know not to mess with me. And she was just hugging my little neck so tight, like my little neck. Okay, never mind. She was hugging my neck. Hey, don't laugh at that. She was hugging my big, fat neck, okay? What do you mean, there you go? You talk about the pot calling the pot a pot, bro. Let me talk about it. You got more chins than a Chinese phone. Anyway, she's holding onto my rather muscular neck. And she was just scared to death. All my grandchildren have nicknames. Her nickname's Pookie. And I pulled her back for a second. I said, now, Pookie, it's all right, sweetheart. Don't worry about it. As long as Gramps got a hold of you, I promise nothing's going to happen to you. And as I put her down, she held my little hand. She just walked on like nothing happened. You know why? Because she knew she was safe in the right hands. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know why? Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Question, is he for you today? See, does he love me? Pastor John said, oh, yes, and we'll come back to that in just a moment. But doesn't the Bible teach us this? People, look here. Doesn't the Bible teach us this, that if God's on your side, you're going to be okay? It will come out all right. Moses, Israel, bondage in Egypt, mighty power, empire of the Egyptian nation, holding them in slavery for hundreds of years. One guy blows out of the desert and says, you got to let my people go. And Pharaoh says, who is God to tell me what to do? Oh, he'll regret that statement. Who is God to tell me what to do? And Moses said, I represent the God of heaven, sir. And he said, let his children go. And Pharaoh said, I will not, because God's not going to tell me what to do. Woo! 10 plagues, and they're begging him to leave. Please get out of my country. Take everything you want and just get away from us, because we know this is God on our side. And they leave the nation of Egypt crippled and humbled after 10 horrible plagues brought upon that nation. And then what do these people do? These Egyptians do, who are supposed to be so smart. They say, we're going to go get them back. Now, that was a dumb thing to do right there. And they chase them. And they chase and box them in against two mountains in the ocean. And they say, we got them. But if God be for us, who can be against us? And God parted an ocean. Ripped a hole in that ocean wide enough for 3,000 to 5,000 people to cross in one night. Dried out the bottom of that ocean in one night. They crossed in the dark with God leading them. And if you want to talk about double stupid, let me tell you what double stupid is. You chase those people to an ocean that God parts, and then you go in there after them. Really dumb. And the very dry ground that protected them and the very walls of water that watched over them fell on those Egyptian soldiers, and they saw their bodies floating on the shore. And you know what? After that, Egypt never bothered with Israel again anymore. Do you know why? Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Those are God's people doing that. There's that boy running down into the valley of Elah with a pocket full of rocks and a shepherd's staff and a sling, and his name is David. He's a teenager. He's got pimples all over his face. See, how do you know? That's my version. And he's running out there to face a 10-foot train-killing giant named Goliath. And Goliath says, come here, son, I'm going to feed you to the birds. I'm going to feed you to the buzzards and the beasts of the field. And David says, you come to me with sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of the God of heaven. And he says, you're the one that's going to lose, sir. And he did, and he hit him with a rock, and he cut his head off, and that boy beat a giant, because if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, then there's Jonah. You say, well, Jonah, that didn't go too good for Jonah. Jonah was swallowed by the what? Jonah was swallowed by what? Whale. Jesus said Matthew 12 was a whale, so we're good with that. If Jesus said it's a whale, it's a whale. I'm happy. You say, well, God wasn't for him. No, he wasn't. Jonah ran away from God. Gone on a ship to go to the other side of the world where God wasn't. Is there a place where God is not? Can you imagine that? And he even told those guys when he got on the ship to take them to the other side of the world, he said, I'm running from God. And a storm comes and Jonah says, it's my fault, throw me overboard. Well, first of all, if you're really a man and you admit it, you just jumped. You wouldn't make him throw you. There's a whole sermon in that. But anyway, they chuck him over, waves calm down, whale swallows Jonah. Goes down to the bottom of the ocean in that whale's belly, alive, 3 days and three nights, because that's attached to Christ's resurrection. That's Matthew 12, 2. And down there in whale blubber, Jonah does business with God. And he starts to pray and do all that stuff that he thinks were so religious. And God, all God's waiting for is this one little statement. I will do what you told me to do. He repented. And the fish vomited whale vomited Jonah out on the shore. And he went, you know, when God's against you, you can't get anywhere from where he's not. You can't run away from him. You'll get swallowed by a whale in the ocean. Because, see, if God be for us, who can be against us? But if God's against us, it doesn't matter who's for us. Those sailors rowed that ship trying to save that man's life. They didn't even know the God Jonah was talking about. But if God be against you, it doesn't matter how many are for you. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us, if God be for us. Now, friend, listen to me this morning. You need to get God on your side through this thing. Dismiss him from the things of your life. And all I can tell you this morning is this. Good luck, because that's all you're going to get. And that's the best it'll ever be. If it turns out good for you, good luck, because that's what it was. You were lucky. But two times today I asked people how they were doing. You know what they said? Blessed and highly favored. I love that statement. It's a good statement because it means God's on my side. Does it mean I'm perfect? No. But I tell you what, if I honor him and do what he tells me to do, he'll be on my side. And I also know this, dear people. Let's see, 62, 53 years ago, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And God justified me that day. And since that day, I have been his child. Just like my little granddaughter who held my hand that day. I just try to hold on to my God's hand today. Not for salvation, for security. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Oh yes, in all these things, life, death, famine, persecution, nakedness, peril, sword, principalities, things we see, things we don't see, things we understand, things we don't understand. If God be for us, who can be against us? Yeah, that's a conqueror. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And we're more than conquerors because of God's inseparable love for us. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of God? Verse 37 ends with, through him that loved us. Verse 39 ends and says, who shall be able to separate us from the love of God? Starts there, and then it ends with, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Say, well, Pastor Johnson, hey, if God loved me so much, then how come I'm having all this famine and persecution and nakedness and peril or sword? Oh, see, there's your problem. See, you're not a conqueror because you question his love instead of value it. Well, if God loved me, I shouldn't lose my job. If God loved me, I shouldn't get sick. If God loves me, everything should work out in my life. If God loves me, he'd give me everything that I want. Now, does that sound like a wise heavenly father to you? Does that sound like a good earthly father? Earthly fathers just give their kids everything they want, right? That's a good earthly father, isn't it? No, it's not. But wait a minute. It's not that we question, the problem of our losing the conqueror principle in our life is we're questioning the love of God because of the stuff we face in life. You shouldn't be questioning it, you should be valuing it. By that I mean this, it ought to bathe you in the reality that God loves you. You say, well, if I didn't have the problems, I could understand it better. No, you're questioning his love instead of valuing it like you should. So if everything in every relationship in my life goes south and all my problems accumulate and I have nothing but trouble in my life, do I have anyone who still cares for me? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Well, I mean, it's nice to be loved. No, it's not nice. It's amazing. Well, I know that God loves me. No, you don't. You don't value it like you should. Why does he keep repeating the thing about the love of God in our lives in the midst of all of this? Because when a Christian understands that their God loves him, and if troubles come, it's not because he doesn't love you. It's because he's trying to do something through you and to you and with you. And he still loves you, even though you have troubles. Come on now. Good parenting involves correction and discipline. Agreed? Thank you. It's biblical. Read your book of Proverbs. Go through the book of Proverbs and look at child rearing in the book of Proverbs and see if it doesn't teach correction and discipline of all kinds. Verbal correction, actions, spanking. Spanking is biblical. Yes, biblical. It's in the Bible. And it's right. It even goes as far as to say you don't even love your kids if you don't correct them that way. It's in the Bible. Say, well, that's old-fashioned stuff. Yeah, the old-fashioned stuff where you could actually take children out in public and they could behave themselves instead of acting like they're some kind of related to animal principle. Yeah, that kind of stuff. But you know something? Any good parent that's ever had to correct their children with that area of discipline and spank them, they didn't like it, they didn't enjoy it, but they knew it was important. And didn't you just tell those kids, but you know Daddy loves you now. You understand that now. Was there any kid who ever had a good parent who told you, I'm doing this because I love you, didn't look at him and say, uh-huh. Well, why don't you love me a little less? How about loving me in a different way? You know, when God allows things to happen in our lives that we don't want and didn't care for, look at me. Don't you understand, it's not because he doesn't love you. When you're facing persecution, troubles in your life, difficulties, you understand that God has allowed that to happen in your life. If it comes from his hand to you, it's still from a loving God. Now look at me. When you start to question his love instead of value it, you've just been defeated in your own heart, in your own mind, and you surrendered. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And over again, he emphasizes and tries to remind us, but nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can. Years ago, when Ronald Reagan was president, he told the story of a horrible account of abuse. One of these deals where this child was tied to a bedpost and beaten and burned with cigarettes and starved and by the child's own mother. Family, finally some word got out to it and the police came and they were taking that little girl away from that mother. So police officers came in, they saw her, the little child in the horrible condition she was living, about 8, 9 years old, emaciated little body, broken bones. It was just a horrible thing. Police officer wrapped that little child up in that blanket and untethered her from that bedpost. As he carried her past her mother, headed toward the car, that little girl looked up and through swollen and bleeding lips said, Mama, if I die, will you love me? There's something about a person that desires to be loved and know that they are loved. Well, my friend, God loves you this morning. Oh, yes, he does. God loves you this morning. Could we with ink the ocean fills and where the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. When we're over there in the Middle East and in Egypt and talking to these folks who had been Muslims who came to Christ and accepted him as their Savior, and ostracized by their family. In many cases told that if they became a Christian, they'd be killed by their own families. But they still embraced Christ. And I wanted to know, what was it about the gospel that helped you to understand your need for Christ and make you willing to risk your life? What could it have been? Every one of them, to a man and a woman, said, when I was told that God loved me, I didn't hear that about Allah. When I was told that God loved me, it broke my heart and helped me to want to know him. Yeah, but Pastor Johnson, see, if I really knew the love of God, would that make my life better? No. But if you were absolutely convinced that nothing this life does to you, nothing that happens in this life, nothing that comes that you wanted and nothing you comes that you didn't want, nothing that comes even from the hand of God himself has ever separated you from his love, you are more than a conqueror. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. No. I have found myself questioning his love. And then I found myself defeated in my own heart, in my mind. Oh, but if I just remind myself that God took me out of a drunkard's home and saved me as a 9-year-old boy and never stopped loving me, never has. 10 years outside the will of God, I lived for myself and God never stopped loving me. Oh, the love of God, my friend, it makes you more than a conqueror if you value it like you should. And we're more than conquerors because when it's all said and done, God does win, you know. All these things that are listed here, especially there in verse 36, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All these things that take place. You know something, ladies and gentlemen? If you are a child of God this morning, accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and you died today, you left this service, walked out those doors, got in your car, and God forbid you were pushed out into eternity. Did you know that the moment that you draw your last breath in this life, you draw your next breath with God? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Death took you out of this life. God won, and you have eternal life. When it's all over and done, God wins. I don't care what happens in the society today. I don't care what the direction of the world is going. I don't care who does what, who runs for what office, who says what, who becomes president, who's not. Doesn't have anything to do. It impacts us and affects us as citizens of this nation. I'm going to say it to you this morning again. You better register your carcass and you better vote your biblical conscience. You hear me? You sit back and do nothing. You're giving this country away. You register. We're going to set up a registration here. We're going to get people to register to vote. Not going to make you. You don't have to if you don't want to. We're just going to spit on you when you walk by. No, I'm just kidding. But the truth of the matter is, hey, look at me. The truth of the matter is, my dear friend, when it's all over and said and done, the election is completed, and all these people are done lying, and then they start living the lies they told us and not doing anything they said they were going to do, when it's all over and done, God still wins. Death and life doesn't separate me from him. All the troubles and trials, they don't separate me from God. Things that I don't even understand don't separate me from God. But you know why? Because I'm on the winning side on this thing. Yeah. Okay, well, that's nice. You know, we go to heaven. Well, I'm sorry, that's just nice to you. See, the thought is just not nice to me. It's not just nice. It's good. It's really good. If I told you today, just for coming to church this morning, I'm going to send you anywhere in the world you want to go for 2 weeks, all paid. Brother Evans is going to do that for you, by the way. Going to pay your way there. Going to put you in the best 5-star hotel you could imagine. Unlimited expense account. Give you some cash to spend on top of that. Someone will meet you at the airport and escort you around wherever you want to go. Take you anywhere you want to be. Do whatever you like to do. And if you don't like it there, we'll put you on an airplane, send you somewhere else if you like. Maybe even like downtown Los Angeles, something really spiffy. Ugh. Look at me. And I handed you an envelope with all that information in it, all the freebies, everything attached to it that you could imagine. And I said, and there's even more in here than you could possibly imagine. And I handed you that envelope. I don't think you'd look at me and say, that's nice. Oh, okay. Well, let me look at my schedule. You go home and quit your job and get on the first thing smoking out of town. That's a car, by the way. And here we are, Christians. Yeah, we're going to heaven. Oh, that's nice. Nice? Nice? You mean nice like eternal life? That's nice? Eternal life is nice. No, eternal life's amazing. Going to lay aside this old robe of flesh and drop the seize the everlasting prize? Oh my! And see all my loved ones again? Oh my goodness! That's just heaven. And in this life, I have my God on my side as long as I do what I tell him, he tells me to do. I have God on my side. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be honest with you. God wins. The world goes that way, I go this way. And I know I'm a fish swimming against the stream. That just means you're alive. Dead fish float with it. That's fine. That's fine. Because, see, God is with me. And if God be for us, who can be against us? God wins. When it's all over and said and done, God wins, and we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What is that place, Brother Koval, in Texas, where if you eat that huge steak, how many ounces is that? 72-ounce steak. You got to eat it in an hour, right? Plus all the trimmings. It's not just the steak. You got to eat 72-ounce steak, plus salad, plus bread, plus, and you got to eat it all in. I mean, when they bring it to you, it's still got a leg attached to it. I mean, it's 72 ounces, right? Now, for some people, they may say, well, I would prefer a salad. I'd like to try a 72-ounce steak, quite frankly. The concept of just giving it a shot sounds interesting to me. I'm thinking about it. Hold a second. I know even me, I couldn't do it. Now, can't get over that. I can't defeat death. I can't do it. Next Sunday you show up and I got jet black hair. That's not going to keep me from death. Some of us, our hair turns white. Some of us, it turns loose. It all depends on how you look at life. But I can't do that. But see, God's already defeated that. And I'm his child, and so, see, folks, do you get the picture here? God wins, and that's why we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The worst this life is going to do to you is all it can do in this life. That's it. Because after that, you go to him, everything's good. And on the way, it's still good. He's good even when we have cancer. He's good even when we lose our job. He's good even when he takes us through all this stuff. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? I said God wins. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Now, let's standing to our feet. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Can I ask you a question? Is God for you? He loves you. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you. Oh, my. The love of God. He loves you if you're his child, and he loves you if you're not. You say, well, then that's all that matters. No. Because the justice and the holiness of God supersedes his love, and that won't keep you out of hell. But he loves you so much he sent his son Jesus to die for you, to pay for your sins, to give you eternal life. But you must accept that payment yourself, individually, personally. You must receive that gift of eternal life, and the way you receive it is by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior.